welcome to you if you're online as well. It's great to have you all with us again. And it's so good that we've got lots of people coming in and out of the doors at the moment. So that's brilliant. Now, I want to reassure you, I'm okay. Even though I've had my hair cut and I am feeling incredibly lightheaded, I am okay. And in fact, I'm not the only one, because I can see a few others. Yeah, we've all gone over the top, haven't we? Anyway, change. It's not easy, is it? Changing what you look like in the mirror. I sometimes, you know, the last couple of days I've had a bit of a shock. Who's that? You know, as I've looked and I found myself all scalped and feels different. And change is something really hard. And yet, in the midst of it, the most important thing is that we keep our feet on the rock, who is unchanging, the unchanging God in the midst of it all. And whatever we face, whatever we struggle with, God is there. And in fact, that opening video, as well as what we're going to be looking at in Psalm 27 today, it's all about keeping our feet and anchoring ourselves in God. And worship is a crucial part of that anchoring. It's about focusing on Him and not on us and on that which is going on around us. So, so important. So let's pray along those lines, shall we, and commit our time to God. So, Father, thank you that we can gather. We're starting to gather more and more in person, and I thank you for that. But, Lord, we are still able, whatever the restrictions, to be able to worship you. And so, Lord, we give you this time. We give you our lives today. And we say, Lord, come and meet with us. Come and minister to us. But, Lord, may we minister to you. May we express of our worship and our thanks to you. And, Lord, even in the midst of the restrictions, we acknowledge that you are the God, our rock, our Redeemer. And on you, Lord, we can stand in the midst of all sorts of changes. So, Lord, come. May you be blessed by our worship. May we be blessed by your presence with us. Because we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a special welcome to you if you are a visitor amongst us this morning, either online or here in person. It's good to have you here. And welcome to week three of our Psalm Fest. I can see you've all got dressed up and you're all going for it. I can see that. But if you are a visitor amongst us, just to let you know that we want you to join in, and we have got a couple of challenges throughout this whole period. Read a psalm a day. How you doing? Yeah. Also to write a psalm, create your own psalm as well. So we're going to be thinking about that, and I should be talking about how we're going to do that over the next few weeks. Okay, so we're okay for the bit. But we're also really pleased to have our very own Alison, who's going to bring God's word to us later. So part of the Psalm Fest. So there you go. Just to also say again that it's good to have so many here in person, but we do need to keep respecting the restrictions and the guidelines. So if you are online and you've thought, well, I don't know whether I still want to go, honestly, it is safe. We've got plenty of room and we want to encourage you to come. But you must not hang around at the end. We need to encourage you out. I'm sorry, that's the hard bit for us. But you can stand outside in the wind and the rain and the... And you can have a bit of a chat outside as well. But there you go. But it's great that you don't need to do anything. And for life groups as well, it's good to have them coming back into the building. But please book, okay? Please make sure you can't just turn up because we need to time it and make sure that the building is safe to be able to do that. So that's okay. Now, later today... we see the return of 30-minute church at 5 o'clock. And we just want to encourage you. It's back in here. All safe. The chairs will be changed. All sorts of things are going to happen in the meantime. But do come. And we're looking at some encounters with Jesus today. So do become and be a part of that. It's worship on Wednesday this week at 7 o'clock. That will just be online through our Facebook page. But these have been very special times throughout the whole of this last year. So I do want to encourage you to be to join us for that. A reminder that there are some offering buckets as you leave if you want to give. And if you want to give in some other way, through the bank or whatever, please just drop a message in the comments or email us and we'll get the details sent out to you. And lastly, of course, we have our coffee time at a new time, at 11:45. 11:45, so it gives chance for the folk here to be able to get home, make your coffee and come online. That's via Zoom. And again, you can leave a comment on the Facebook page and we'll make sure you get the Zoom connection for that. Okay, I think that's all I need to do. There's plenty in there, sorry. You now go, ooh. But let's focus back on God and on our worship. And it's great to have Janie leading us and the team. So thanks, everyone. Over to you.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made. Everyone. to save. He is mighty to save forever. Offer of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
You are a mighty saviour, and it's just so wonderful that we can depend upon you. And now we're going to pass over to Rich, who's going to lead us with the kids.
God is my light. I don't have to be afraid of anyone. George, have you ever felt afraid?
Yeah. I have a recurring nightmare that one day Nana's will rise up and eat all the orangutans.
Oh, George, that's scary. Thankfully not very realistic. Well, King David had lots to be afraid of. When he was a shepherd boy looking after his dad's sheep, he had to scare away the lions and the bears that wanted to eat them. When he was a bit older, he had to defend his brothers and some soldiers from a giant called Goliath who wanted to kill them and turn God's people into slaves. When he was a bit older and a bit of a hero, King Saul was jealous of David and tried to kill him.
What?
Yep. So David had to run away and hide in the desert.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. It's mad because David didn't do anything wrong to Saul at all. When King David became king after Saul, he had to go to war and defend his country from bad people who wanted to do them harm.
He also had people tell lies about him, trying to get him in trouble or make him less popular.
Yeah, and lots of us know what that feels like. Wow, it sounds like King David had a really hard time. But it says, through all of that, God is his light and his stronghold. God kept him safe and showed him where to go.
Richard?
Yeah?
What if David had done something wrong?
Would God still have helped him? Or would he have had to run away from him too? Well, we can't really run away from God, can we? But David did make some mistakes. He looked at things he shouldn't have looked at. He took something he shouldn't have taken. He hurt someone he should have protected. And that made God very cross and sad. But you know what, George? This psalm written by David says that God is his light and he doesn't have to be afraid of anyone, not even God. This is what he says. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming.
Wow! So even when we've done something really wrong, we're embarrassed. We don't have to hide from God because he's angry. He wants to talk to us.
That's right, George. Just like King David, we all make mistakes. But God will always love us. He'll always be our light shining the way home. And he wants to be our stronghold and protect us. When we follow Jesus, we don't have to be afraid or lost in the dark. We can come back to God every time. Every time, no matter what, he still loves us.
So Jesus is like a lighthouse?
Yeah, he's like a big lighthouse, guiding us home. And we know a song about that, don't we, George? And Janie is going to introduce it to us now, after a couple of people come up with a reading.
That's great!
That is great. Over to you, gang.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
The person who follows me will never live in darkness.
He will have the light that gives life.
Amen. Thank you, boys. That was absolutely wonderful. That really was. And it's really good to know that we can depend on Jesus in even in those dark places. And he is with us and he shines for us and he shines within us by his Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So now we're going to sing My Lighthouse. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea.
So carried away, just loving and enjoying myself. Okay, now we felt that in the light of this last year, with COVID and other things that we've had to face, that it would be good to spend some time praying for our nation and our world. And of course, it's still going on, isn't it? Thinking about India and other things, but we just believe it's particularly it's important to pick up on the mental illnesses and the mental health situation, the well-being of those things which COVID has brought, really. And so we're going to pray into those things now as a result of that, and Caroline's going to come and lead us in that. So over to you, Caroline. Thank you.
So in your word, in Psalm 27, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid?" But we know that the truth is that we have worries, we have doubts. Illness comes, we get tired and weary. And added to that, we can then feel guilty. But Lord, we know that we can always come to you, whatever our state of mind. You accept us. You don't point the finger when we fear, when we're troubled. And Lord, we want to lift to you those who have found this pandemic so hard. And that's all of us to some extent. But for those who've been isolated, afraid, who even though they know that the Lord is their light and their salvation, feel cut off and frightened, not knowing what will happen. And we pray as well for those that have lost either actual people or jobs or homes or ways of life. And we lift them before you, Lord, and we ask that you bring your comfort to them and be with them every day. And it goes on to say, "Hear me as I pray, Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk to me, and my heart rejoices. Lord, I'm coming." So we give you thanks and praise that we don't need special words, special rituals. You're our loving Father who knows exactly how we feel, and there is no shame. We can come to you. We can speak to you in reality of how we're feeling. We don't have to put on a false face. We don't have to pretend to be joyful when we're grieving and sorrowing. We know that you will meet us wherever we are. And we pray for those who feel unable to pray for themselves, who feel distance or perhaps don't know you, Lord. So we lift them before you and pray that your presence and your spirit will come to them. And we just praise you that we are never alone. And so often the world or the devil would like to tell us we're alone, but that is not a truth. And may we hang on to that. May all those who are suffering hang on to that, that they are not alone. So we're asked further in the psalm to wait patiently for the Lord, to be brave and courageous, to take courage each day, to keep going, that the Lord has plans. And sometimes just waking up and making the decision to get out of bed can take courage. So Lord, we know that this is a hard time for many. And so we pray especially for those who need to take courage just to wake up a new day. And we lift before those who see no hope. We lift them up to you, Lord, and pray that you will be with them. And we pray that you will bring alongside people who will just be there, not necessarily with lots of advice, but just to be there and support. So we pray that those who are feeling condemned may understand that just by working another day, they are taking courage. Help us to wait, Lord. Wait on you. We know that you have a plan for everybody and that you are there. So help us to wait till we see your face clearly. And we just praise you and thank you that you do understand. You do understand fully when we are in despair and you're there to lift us up. And thank you, Lord. Amen.
from all fear. He has set my feet upon the rock, and I will not be moved, and I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very presence, help in time of need. Who has I in heaven but you, Jesus? And there's none I desire beside you, and you have made me glad, and I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength,
thank you, Janie and team. That was really lovely. Thank you. Well, I wonder if, like me, you actually enjoy a bit of television. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing like a good murder mystery for entertainment. And at this point, I just need to go and get the clicker for the PowerPoint. Sorry. If you want to know how to stream an online service, that's what you don't do. But I wanted to show you pictures of my favourite TV programmes. Maybe you're more into Strictly or MasterChef or sport. These days, though, I'm not really so aware of the adverts on TV. I think we watch differently now. We maybe record and wind forward through the adverts. But there was a day when the adverts were as good as the programmes. There was the mysterious James Bond type figure who had to overcome all sorts of obstacles to give chocolates to his lady friend. And then there were the chimpanzees who enjoyed a good cuppa. This is Mr. Shifter, who with his son tried to get that piano down the stairs. Of course, the piano goes crashing to the ground, and they have the wonderful lines where the son says, "Dad, do you know the piano's on my foot?" And the dad says, "You hum it, son, I'll play it." My favourite has to be the Smash aliens, who creased up over the thought of the humans who take potatoes, peel them with their metal knives and boil them for 20 minutes before mashing them. Well, if you recognise these, You'll probably also be familiar with Colgate's Ring of Confidence. This was a toothpaste which promised you fewer fillings and fresher breath. And they talked about keeping inside the ring of confidence. And I was reminded of that phrase as I reflected on Psalm 27. And perhaps as we read it together now, you may like to note David's confidence, even in the midst of trouble. It's David's bold statement of trust in God, of his reasons for that trust, and how we too may be encouraged. David has learnt to live within a ring of confidence, which promises so much more than good dental hygiene. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Well, now David is in a dire situation. His enemies are fierce, relentless. They're like pack animals, ravenous, looking to devour him. He is at risk from physical harm and from malicious accusations. Yet he is able to declare that the Lord is his light, his salvation, his stronghold. His fear is real, but it doesn't dominate his thinking. Now, we may not be threatened by marauding Philistines or persecuted by an insanely jealous king or even conspired against by family members. But if we're honest, there are times when our thoughts manage to overwhelm us. So many of our battles are fought in the mind. If this resonates with you, you need to know that you're not alone. John Ortberg writes about an experiment where people were connected to pagers which went off at random times during the day. And when they went off, the people wrote down what they were thinking, feeling, and doing at that moment. Interestingly, it was shown that when people were alone and not distracted by things outside of themselves, their thoughts were negative. They became victims of their own disturbed thought life. The man who conducted the experiment said, "The normal state of the mind is chaos." I wonder if that sounds familiar. Do you find that fear, anxiety, temptation, or self-pity swamps you and robs you of the abundant life which Jesus promised? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we've probably all been there at one time or another. And the thing is, it's not enough to say to someone, "Don't worry," is it? There's no negative thought switch which we can turn on or off when we feel like it. We're powerless. Except we're not, are we? If we too, like David, can say that the Lord is my light, my salvation, my stronghold, we'll not be overwhelmed, not by anything. It's not that we try and kick out these negative thoughts or attitudes. Rather, we replace them with the knowledge of God and with his loving care for us. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light is everything that is positive, truth and goodness and joy. It's the answer to fear, to falsehood, to self-condemnation. It's the opposite of darkness, of chaos and evil. And light can never be extinguished. You know how the Americans refer to torches as flashlights? Someone said there are no such things as flash darks to dispel the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Our confidence is rooted in who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It is in the light of Jesus that we see God's face. We see who he is and who we are. We see our sin and his forgiveness, our weakness and his strength, our poverty and his riches, our futility and his purpose, our despair and his hope. In Jesus, we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. This transfer from one kingdom to the other is the greatest rescue mission ever undertaken. It is the greatest story ever told. God, who defines himself as light and love, cannot bear to be separated from us. There's a line in a song which we sing which says, "Jesus, you didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down." God showed his love in this way, by sending Jesus, so that if anyone believes in him, they should not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord is my salvation. We can't save ourselves. Sometimes we represent this idea by using the image of a bridge. There is a great chasm between God and human beings, but Jesus' sacrifice on the cross bridges that gap and allows us to cross over into God's presence. Now, I know most, if not all of you, are already followers of Jesus. If you're not sure, let me encourage you to take that step of faith across that bridge and into God's presence. God is so good, and he offers you fullness of life. To be in his presence is the very best place to be. It's also the safest place to be. There was a man called Peter Marshall who worked as a chaplain in Christian ministry. One night he was out walking through moorland and it was very dark, so much so he could hardly make out the path in front of him. Suddenly he heard a voice calling his name. There was urgency in the voice, so he stopped and listened. Hearing nothing else, he continued his walk, although understandably he was puzzled. Suddenly he heard the voice again, only this time it was even more urgent. He stopped dead still, trying to see into the darkness, and he stumbled and fell to his knees. Putting out his hand to catch himself, he found nothing there. As he investigated extremely cautiously, he fell around in a semicircle and found himself to be on the brink of an abandoned stone quarry. One more step and he would have plummeted to his death. There was no doubt in Peter's mind of the source of that voice. He firmly believed that God had prevented his death because he had more work for him to do on earth. The safest place to be is in God's presence. That's what David means in verse 4 when he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." David uses 5 different words for the place where God resides: house, temple, dwelling, shelter, and sacred tent. But he's not really talking about a physical place. He's expressing his desire to be with God now and forever. For David, this is the most important thing. If God asked you right now what one thing you would like him to do for you, what would your answer be? To experience God's presence in our ordinary everyday moments is a wonderful thing. To experience his presence in our thought life is truly liberating. David knows his God. He knows that when he's in God's presence, the Lord will keep him safe. The Lord is his stronghold. David says, when trouble comes, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. David's experienced this. There was a time when he was hunted by the king, by Saul. When the king was on one side of the mountain and David on the other, Saul and his men were closing in. But then Saul received news that the Philistines were raiding. So he left that place to drive the Philistines away, and David was saved. At that time, David lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. He knew all about seeking safety and finding refuge in strongholds. And he used this imagery to describe God's protection. In the ancient world, if you stayed with someone, your host was honor-bound to protect you. So David knows that if you are with God in his dwelling place, he will protect you at all cost. There's a story about a little boy who was on a ship and sadly it became wrecked in a terrible storm. He was swept by the waves onto a rock and sat there all night long, until in the morning he was spotted and rescued. Someone asked him if he trembled while he was on the rock during the night. And he replied, "Yes, I trembled all night, but the rock didn't." God is able to keep you safe. He is strong, and he really does care what happens to you. You are under his overshadowing wings. You are held securely in his hands. His everlasting arms are underneath you. He encircles you with his love. As Paul wrote in Romans, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He himself has become our stronghold, our fortress, in whom we can trust. And so we respond with shouts of joy. With David we sing and make music to the Lord. In Christ alone my hope is found. Jesus, the name high over all, what a beautiful name it is. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Songs of praise and worship will flow from us. My God, that is who you are. Did you notice that David didn't say, "The Lord is the light, the salvation, the stronghold"? He said, "My light, my salvation, my stronghold." It's all about relationship. Our 2-year-old granddaughter calls Ian and me Babel. We have no idea where it came from. It's got nothing to do with talking a lot or talking very fast or talking nonsense. We don't spell it like that. But Babel. It's a special name just for the two of us. And these days, she started, to our delight and her parents' dislike, she started to talk to them about, "My Babel does this," or "Babel does it like that." We're in a childcare bubble, so it's all quite legal. It's okay. The thing is that we are hers. It's such a precious relationship. But it didn't spring from nowhere. She knows that we care for her. We go for walks, take her to the playground, bake biscuits, colour in dinosaurs, sing songs together, build towers and knock them down again, and we even change the occasional nappy. Our relationship is built on care. And David has experienced God's care. He doesn't just know about God, he knows God. This is how he can remain confident. This is how his worries don't dominate his thoughts. The one thing he desires is to meditate on God's goodness and to seek God's will for his life. He is committed to the Lord's way. I believe this psalm is such an encouragement to us. David has shown us how, with God's help, we can replace our negative thoughts and attitudes that we may have with all that is good and positive, with God himself. Again, Paul says in Romans, "The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. If you should forget everything from this morning's talk, please remember this one thing. Remember your glasses. For God is our light and salvation, our stronghold, in whom we are eternally secure. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your loving care. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in Jesus and empowering us by your Spirit. Thank you that you long to be with us and passionately desire relationship with us. Please help us to hunger and thirst for you, to know you better as each day goes by, and to trust you in every situation. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Amen.
Thank you, Alison. It's so good to know that God is so faithful and is there for us. And he's so, like a rock, forever steady and constant. Thank you.
Such love, I was a star.
love has lifted me.
Wonderful. It's great to have you, and thank you so much for that word, Alison. Absolutely brilliant. Superb. And I know that would probably be very relevant for many of you. And I just ask you, take that psalm home, pray over it, ask God to continue to minister, and don't forget those glasses. Okay? That's brilliant. Lovely, lovely. Let's draw our service to a close. I'm going to encourage you to stand, and that's at home as well, even in your PJs, come on. But we're going to share the words of the grace together. If you don't know them, that's fine. Just receive them as we speak them over each other. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us, and come next week. God bless.